You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning we are speaking with Chris Cudby and, I'm sorry, is it in...
Indira
Neville, who are two co-editors of this amazing kind of concept and idea called Sonic Comic. And I'm just looking at it right now and it's the most aesthetically pleasing thing to look at. Shall we let the listeners know kind of what exactly is Sonic Comic?
Right, so Sonic Comic, and we should mention our third co-editor, Beth Dawson, who couldn't be here today, but yep, integral part of the team. Sonic Comic is a group of 35 works, single works that have both a comic element and an audio element, so multimedia kind of immersive experience.
Yeah.
You get a book, and the book is the size of a record, so it's big and it's lush and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you read the book, and at the same time you listen to the corresponding track, and you're transported into a sort of universe of whoever made that Sonic comic. Yeah.
So there are lots of different mini kind of episodes within this book.
That's right. Every artist was allocated their own page to do whatever they would like to do. So some people told little stories. Some people just had a single image. Some people, it's kind of hard to tell what's going on. It's yeah, very abstract. And likewise, with the music, it kind of ranges from very kind of storytelling to kind of very abstract or soundscapey kind of material.
And a few kind of pop songs as well. Yeah, so it's up to the artist to determine the relationship between the music and the image. They could do whatever they want, and it was up to them to decide on their own definition of comic.
So who was in control of the music aspect of
the same artist?
The same artist?
Yeah. Yeah.
The person that made the comic did the music as well?
Yeah, so that's what it's a celebration. There's a really big, long, rich tradition in New Zealand of people who make music in comics. And
really?
It doesn't get talked about much. Everyone's heard of Chris Knox, but he's about it. So that was one of the drivers for the project, really, to celebrate that, because Chris, Beth and I are those people.
Yeah.
And we know lots of those people. Yeah.
I would have never have thought, to be perfectly honest. So where did the idea for this project come from?
I think it was just a kind of zeitgeisty in the ether type thing, because Chris, Beth and I all independently had the same idea at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, so we hang out with each other quite often.
Oh, cool.
So just through chats it sort of came together. And also the Audio Foundation, which is where we did the book release last weekend, and we've got an exhibition running there at the moment, featuring works from the book. Is the perfect place for us to host this kind of project as well.
So did you just approach people who kind of made comics?
Yeah.
Like, were there comics that they could, like, were they sharing comics with people, or were kind of...
So there's a bunch of different people. I mean, we're really clear that this is not in any way a history or a survey of the current comic and music-making landscape. It's people that we appreciate, whose work we enjoy, that we wanted to see more of. So we invited people, and it was people that we know the history of their work a little bit, either comics or music or both. And we just said, we really like you, we want you to be in our project, would you like to be in it?
I mean, some of these artists are well known, some of these artists are completely obscure, but it was based more on just whether we would like their work more than anything else.
And what was your guys' roles within the project?
So we did our own Sonic comics,
cool,
of course, but we're also the editors. So that involved various things. So there was a lot of kind of social media cajoling and community building and endless emails, to contributors and reminding them of deadlines, etc. There was, of course, the laying out of the book, which Chris took responsibility for, and that's a massive job. And then also the putting together of the Bandcamp page, with which Beth took responsibility for, and both those jobs are really big. And then the putting together of the exhibition, so the hanging of the works, and then getting together all the stuff for the launch, so hunting down a sponsor, so thank you Mark Gwynne Hamilton for the booze, and organizing. So we had four of the project's contributors come and perform at the launch on Saturday, which was really cool. And now there's kind of general hustling of the book and glamorous media interviews like this.
Yes.
And where did the whole idea of comics for you guys begin? When did you start kind of getting into it?
Great question.
I started making comics when I was about 6 years old, and my dad showed me and my brother how to draw a face on the floor of the lounge in Ahipara. And so I've been making comics ever since then, really. Yeah,
do you have like a specific style?
My style, I call myself a kind of feminist Whiz and Chips cartoonist. So I really like the kind of British newspaper comic style, but with a little bit of a kind of slightly nasty feminist, gory edge, but I'm very big on funny too. I like comics that have jokes.
That's actually a really great description. I'm really inspired by the English newspaper comic as well, cool. where you would tell an entire story on one page.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really into that. And there's been a trend in comics worldwide of telling these really long stories that are 300
novels.
Pages
yeah.
that are three or 400 or 500 pages long, and I'm really interested in like the other end of that.
Yeah, so the comics in Sonic Comic were limited to a page because that's the kind of comics we like.
Do you think it's hard for people to kind of involve themselves in comics if they kind of have never read it before? Like, is it hard to break into that world?
Well, it depends what you mean by break into the world. So it's really easy to make comics. All you need is something to write, draw on, and something to write, draw with. So it's easy to make them. If you are interested in having a career and being commercially successful, then yes, it's really difficult, particularly in New Zealand. And I don't know that there is anyone really who makes a living solely from comics. Even Dylan Horrocks still has to do, you know, motivational speeches at high schools and apply for Creative New Zealand grants and stuff.
Yeah, and they'll have illustration careers on the side and things like that.
So they're multi-talented people. Yeah. Or they kind of have to be, I suppose.
Yes.
Well, all you need to make comics is a pen and paper.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you even need that these days.
True.
You just need your handheld device and a finger and you can get started.
And so comics also, you know, there's the commercial graphic novel sort of type of comic, but there's also a really strong punk DIY zine making history of comics, and that's probably more what we tapped into with Sonic Comic.
Because I mean, for me, when I think of comics, I just think of Marvel.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, like superheroes. So that's a whole other thing, the superhero stuff. Yeah.
And I suppose there's just so much more to it.
Yeah.
And so are you kind of trying to like make people see that there's this whole world? It's not
just
superheroes.
Yeah. That's a massive driver for me. I mean, you know, I'm on a bit of a sort of zealous crusade to smash the comics hegemony in New Zealand. And last year I was involved in an anthology of New Zealand women's comics, Three Words, and making a whole lot of stuff visible through that hadn't been seen before. And Sonic Comic, for me, feels very much like a similar thing, making another comics community visible in a way that hasn't been previously.
Fantastic. And what do you guys think that the collaboration of the sound and then also the visual side of the comic, what do they give to like the listener / reader? Because you're listening and reading at the same time.
Yeah, it ends up being quite a surprisingly deep experience, and it's definitely what I found through interacting with the works in this comic, in this book, is that through listening to the tracks and paying attention to the drawings, it really slows down the reading experience. You don't zoom through, you kind of pay attention more, and you definitely feel the vibe a lot more.
It's really intense. In the book, I've written a bit of an essay about a particular type of artist who is interested in getting stuff inside of them out.
Right.
And that they use multiple channels to do that. And so if you think of it in that way, and you've got a lot of stuff that needs to get out, then music's one channel, comics is another channel. And so for me, each of the comics is kind of a little bit like a personal universe of the person who made it, that are making visible of some stuff that was inside them. So that's kind of really, really amazing. You know, you get to see the innards of a whole lot of people and people that you know, and it's quite sort of humbling and nutty and disturbing and a bit of a privilege all at the same time.
Are you hoping that this is going to open like new doors of collaboration in regards to comics involving itself with other kind of mediums or forms of art?
I think if it could just encourage more activity for people to do some exciting projects in relation to comics, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
It's up to everyone else to figure out what they want to do.
I mean,
we can't do everything.
I'm not going to lie, I actually love going into the library, and the section that I go to is the comic book section.
Yeah, cool.
And I found some really, like, some of the stuff is really deep.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you kind of always think that it's just going to be a bit silly, but it's really not. I've read some pretty...
I mean, comics are a medium like any other medium. They can be used for an infinite number of stories, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just looking at the book, it's a piece of art as well, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
So people can go and see it exhibited at the Audio Foundation?
They can, and they can go onto our Bandcamp page, which is Bandcamp Sonic Comic.
Sonic Comic.bandcamp.com.
Yep, and if you go to the merch page, you can buy the book. And when you buy
fantastic.
The book, you get the download code to download the audio compilation that goes along with it.
And we just put some copies into flying out as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
So when you go along to Audio Foundation, how does the sound work with in regards to looking at the comic?
So the exhibition is an exhibition mostly of the original art that went with the comic and a few other sort of interesting things that people have made. But we have a listening post set up so you can experience the tracks and read the comic as part of the exhibition if you want to.
Do you think you guys want to do another one at all?
I wouldn't do the same project because I feel that this very successfully kind of conveys exactly the kind of idea that we want to express. But I think that this project has definitely given us some more ideas.
Yeah, maybe a little rest first.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to enjoy what you've made as well.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, thank you to you both for coming in this morning. I think it's a great idea. It's so beautiful to look at as well, and I encourage everybody to go to the Audio Foundation or to get yourself a copy that you can keep. As you said, you can go through to Bandcamp and get yourself a copy there or flying out.
Cool.
So great. Thank you guys for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.